verse 6. But now we have been released from the law. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it. And but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. If we can have this scripture in King James Version, let me see, or New King James Version, if it's possible. You don't have anything. Okay. So does anybody have New King James Version? Okay. No, any microphone? None. I can read it from here, since I have the microphone. It says, 7:6. It says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were being held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We've been delivered from the law. Amazing. But that's exactly where a lot of teaching is pushing the church. From where God says, I have what? Delivered you from. That's where a lot of people are pushing the church, and they call it sanctification. But it leads to bondage. The Bible says, if you want to bear fruits unto God, if you want to live the life that pleases God, you have to know what it means to live in the Spirit. And not to live in the letters of the law. In other words, the ministry of Moses is not relevant today. That's what the Bible is saying. He said, I shut down that law thing. I pulled you away from it, delivered you from it, so that you cannot live in a way that will produce what I'm looking for. And so a Christian must understand that he's not under the law. Some people think it's sacrilegious to say stuff. I was in a bus one time, traveling from Onitsha to Lagos, and one young man stood up and said, you know, I've been delivered from the Lord. They nearly killed him. All of them really grated on him. They said, this new warehouse church, telling us we can do whatever you like. But the boy was correct. It's here in the Bible that we have been delivered from the law. And then I sat there and was, the boy saw the right thing, but he didn't have wisdom. And I was looking at them. Even the fact they were abusing him showed me that they had issues. They had serious issues. But they didn't know it. So we've been delivered from the law, Christians. We've been delivered from the law. I want us to say that. And I want you to say boldly. That's what God said. So that we can now begin a new type, a new way of producing what God wants, which is living, the way of living in the Spirit. So if you are thinking of sanctification, it's not in this pushing us towards the law to do a lot more, to vow to do better. It's an understanding. It's a revelation of what it means to live by my Spirit. Because if I don't know what it means to live by my Spirit, I will not produce the righteous life that God wants. It's not going to happen. So we need to begin to understand what the New Testament is all about. The ways to live in this new system that God set up for us. And I've been trying to bring us to be aware that we have our natural path. That we still have our what? Natural path. And we carry it till we die. Or until Jesus comes. It's then he will give us the new body. But from now till Jesus comes out, or from now till we take our exit, this flesh is there. And we cannot strip ourselves of our humanity for God's sake. That would be living a hypocritical life. That would be pretending to be what you are not. But we are basically human. And we have our human nature. If you don't recognize it, you end up a hypocrite. Because you are going to live a life that is devoid of humanity, which doesn't exist anywhere. Is anybody here who doesn't have a humanity? Then you are spirit. Leave us. We don't want you here. You are spirit. Go home. So everybody that is alive here that is a human being is a human being and has a human part. And to that extent, no matter how you live, you are still going to find your humanity interfering in your life. And that's why if you read the book of Hebrews, I want you to listen to me now. If you read the book of Hebrews, it says we have a high priest who understands our frailty, who understands our weaknesses, that we have our human part. He said we have that high priest who sympathizes with our humanity. And that's the reason he said we can come boldly in spite of that. Because of that high priest, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, where mercy waits for you because of your humanity. Mercy waits for you then. That's the reason. Can we read Hebrew chapter what? Let me ask my wife. She's an Encyclopedia Britannica when it comes to Bible. She has the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I don't even need to buy Bible since I have it. So let me open my Bible. So where are we supposed to read? Yeah, it's Hebrew chapter what? Can you tell us? 8:6, right? Hebrew chapter 8:6. Have you solved your problem in there? You have not. Have you? Can we have it up? Okay. But now had they obtained, is it 8:6? Okay, let's start from there. But now had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if, I don't think this is what I'm looking for. 4:6, okay. Let's go to 4:6. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter. What? 4:14. 4:14. Let's try 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our what? Infirmities. What is infirmities? Weaknesses. Because of our human nature, frailty, our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, we are yet without what? Sin. Because of this infirmity, let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne. So we need grace all the time. Because of our infirmity. We need grace all the time. Throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us. This scripture is amazing. It's telling you that you will have mercy to start with, but you are going to find grace that will solve your problem. Where God told our brother Paul, my grace is what? Sufficient. My grace will solve all your problems. And yet, some Christians said, we don't want grace, we want judgment. Have you seen craziness like that? Have you seen anything like that? God says, I'll give you grace, I'll show you mercy. Somebody said, no, I want judgment. They are saying something. I said, as somebody said, you know, you should teach us that when we sin, God will judge us. I said, how many judgments have you received in one day? How many have you received in 1 week? If God is judging everything you do, he said, every single time the judgment will be coming.
coming. That's ignorance. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, there's a place of judgment. It has its own place. Nobody's denying that. But there's a place of grace too. Can I hear amen? So we have our natural body, which is real, totally real. But we also have our spiritual part that is born again, the new man, the new spirit. Can somebody say amen? So for us to talk of sanctification is for us to have more and more knowledge of the realities of what is happening to us in the New Testament in which we live. What the reality of what is happening to you, how this life is now lived. So, and it's all focused on the cross. Praise the Lord. So we must understand the peculiar ability and privilege that the presence of Christ brings to you and brings to me. To live in the Spirit is simple. It's to live by the Word of God. It's to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by his what? Faith. So it says the same thing. If I'm living by my Spirit, I'm living by faith. And living by the word of God, it says, we shall live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That which means, what does that mean? Every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Everything that proceeded from the mouth of God. Why didn't it say everything that proceeded from your Bible? What does it mean? Revelation. The Bible said they shall be taught of God. No matter what teaching you hear, I don't care the CD you listen to 100 times, there is this one-on-one that makes all the difference. When the Spirit of God takes that knowledge and breaks it for you, opens your eyes, and you see wondrous things in it. You live by revelation. You don't live merely by information. Your eyes of understanding must be what? Opened. That's the difference between the letter and the spirit of the word. You must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of who? God. God has to give you that revelation. That's what Jesus was saying, that Mary had chosen the only thing that is important, and nobody would take this destiny away from her. This is the most important thing, that which the Spirit of Christ teaches you. So to live by the Spirit is to live by the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives you. And he gives you revelation all the time. Teaches us all the time. So one of the things that he teaches us is to teach us about Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't come to reveal the law of Moses to anybody. Did you read that in the Bible? He didn't come to reveal the law of Moses. He came and had one assignment here. To reveal who? Christ Jesus. To reveal Christ Jesus to us. To reveal Christ Jesus to us. So that in knowing Christ, you will know the ability that God has given you. The extraordinary ability that is at your disposal with which you can engage life. Engage things that come against you. Engage things that want to oppose the will of God in your life. Because if you don't understand those things, you will not put them to use. Praise the Lord. The tremendous ability that the presence of Jesus gives to you, for instance. And that's why I say you have overcome this world. Because what? The greater one is in you. There's a tremendous ability that the presence of Christ gives a Christian. So that the Christian can do all things beyond his natural ability, which the law of Moses did not give you. That ability didn't come from Ten Commandments. It came because the Spirit of Christ lives in you. and empowers you to act beyond normal ability, so that the things that will bring a normal person down will not bring you down. And when we talk of sanctification, I'm not just focusing only on morals. I'm talking about living the full range of the life of Christ that reveals to the person watching you that the gospel is true. Our lives should be a story of the gospel. Our lives should, that's God's intention. Every Christian's life must be talking about Jesus Christ and the truth of salvation that we have. That's why the Bible says we are letters written to others to read it, so they can see. Paul was testifying about his life. He said, listen, he said, this thing is worthy of all acceptance, so that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the world. He said, look at what my life has become. An evidence of salvation. An evidence of what? Salvation. He said, that's what my life has become. That people look at me, a worse sinner, and they look at me now, they say, wow, this gospel is worthy of all acceptance because my life proves it. That's what it is. It's not a sanctimonious, I'm holier than that something stuff. It is a life that when people deal with you, when you talk, people who know you before, we say, wow, this salvation is what? It's real. That's what it should be. And he said, my beloved brother here is true. It's an evidence. He told me, he said, I've watched you. He said, watching you brought me to this church. He said, now, am I telling lies? He said, watching you brought me to this church. He said, I used to know you. He said, I watched you and realized that this is true. That's what he said. He said, I now realize that this thing is what? It's true. That's what our life should be. Our life should be a sermon on its own. That when people watch you, they say, wow, this salvation is really true. All your in-laws, all your mother-in-law, can somebody say amen? Immediately I said mother-in-law, everybody kept quiet. Your mother-in-law should come and stay 3 months with you. Did I say something wrong? Did I say anything wrong? My own mother-in-law stayed with me. And this is real. And my wife was there. One morning we came for prayers. And I said, let us pray. Mama said, stop. He said, this thing is true. My wife is a living witness. He said, this thing is true. He said, I've watched you. He said, I've been watching you since I came here. He said, hey, Mama, my son, I didn't know God called you. He said, how will I know? I thought you've gone crazy. He said, the baptism your father did, your own father, you are doing another one. So I thought you lost your... He said, but you know, my son, God called you. He said, hey, this is God. She's the living witness. He said, if I die now, I die in peace. That's her testimony. He said, everything they're talking about you is false. But you know, the devil will always try to paint you black. I don't know why people get engaged with the devil. Don't you have something better to do than to be talking to them? He told me and didn't told me. I'm talking about who told him. I'm not asking myself, is there not better something to engage yourself in? Leave what they told, didn't told you. Sunday, I'm talking about visiting me there. I said, these people are cannibal. There are more glorious things to engage in than what people are saying and people are doing. Let me tell you, people, the most important thing is not what people are talking about. The most important thing is what God is what? Saying about you. That's what's important. Forget about what people are talking about. Jesus said, Paul said, he said, why should I be bothered by what you see? He said, all this you people are saying is unimportant. He said, let us wait now until Jesus comes. He knows everything. He's the one that will testify. He said, why not wait now? You are judging before he comes. You don't know anything. So our life should be a life that tells a story. I have my aunties here. Their father brought up my father. You know how you take your sister's son
and train him. And then he was a catechist. And my father became a pastor. He sowed into that man's life, my own father. And then my aunties, my own blood. Do you think my aunties will sit and be listening if they think this is fake? If they think their son is she will say me, he said, that's the way they say it in Hebrew. He said, you're the one that was born well. Others fell from, he said, others fell from the tree. Yes. He said, others fell from the tree. But you came, he said, you were born well. You know, that my auntie is there. This is my blood. These are my blood. You know, if this is not proved to be real, you think they will sit here, waste their time? They will call me and say, I want to see you. Emmanuel, what? Because they can call me any name. There's not a pastor there. They can call me any name. Because I'm a son to them. Praise the Lord. They can put their hand here and say, hey. And I will stay until they leave. That's what it should be. It's their right. It's their privilege. Because I'm their son. They say, if your brother is not dancing well in public, you feel ashamed. Praise the Lord. Your brother is dancing. He's not dancing well in public. They say you feel ashamed. You know why I'm bringing up these things? I have my own blood relations here. I have my own wife here. I have somebody here. Our life must tell the story of the gospel. That's what sanctification should be. It's not a sanctimonious trying to be holy. I tie a tie here. I don't wear earring. And yet your life is telling people something useless. It doesn't even authenticate that you are saved. Especially as soon as money is involved. All that hair tie and earring is useless. As soon as money comes. All of you know Pastor Tundena. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I need a serious sanctified Christian as a driver. He said, I'll give you one. And they gave him sanctified. And before long, money started missing. And then this is real story. So the man said, I'm going to trap this boy. So he brought a suitcase with money and kept it. And then they go, he said, stop, I want to do something. So he left and came back. He knew the boy had performed. So he now kept quiet. And then they got to the house. Then he brought out the suitcase. He said, I want to search you. And he found his money with him. That is Jim sanctified. You know, the Bible talks of those who glory in outward appearance and not in the heart. Don't fool yourself, brethren. Don't let's fool ourselves. Let's be real. If you want God to help you, be real. And stop pretending. Just be who you are. And call God to help you. And God will help you. But pretending you are what? That's not certain. It is totally not certain. That's not Christianity at all. It's not really about what you do bad. It's about how you manage the things you do bad. If I do something bad, the way I repent and apologize is a teaching moment. It can still reflect the fact that the Spirit of God is working in me. It's working in me. Praise the Lord. So we must recognize the abilities we have, what the presence of Christ is doing, and then understanding the privileges that we have in Christ, so we can live in the full array of what Jesus paid for us to be. We have to live in the fullness of it, in the power of Christ, in victory over sickness, over poverty, over the devil, you know, having boldness to cast out the devil, living in the power, living in the reality, everything that Christ gave us. Sanctification should make you embrace the entirety of provision of Christ. It's not a sanctimonious, you know, bro, how are you, sir? My friend, take it away from me. So, we said we must understand our natural part, that it is sinful by nature. And because it is sinful by nature,
temptation to sin appeals to it. We said it last time. It appeals to your natural part. And because when it appeals to your natural part, it registers in your heart. It registers in your heart. And then that's why the decision is made, to follow it. So we must be people who understand that we have the natural part, and there are five gates through which the natural part receives appeal. It receives appeal from your mouth. Is that correct? So your taste bud can make you a glutton. Drinking, smoking, all of it is from taste. And you don't need to be preached to about drinking. If you are sensible enough, you know it does not. If it doesn't even give you good testimony among anybody. It doesn't tell a good Christian. Can you imagine we came for Holy Communion, we're serving beer? How many of you would think it's okay? I mean, if you think drinking is good, let's come for Holy Communion. And then we start pouring. You know, I don't even know the name of beer. So some of you know. Which ones do you serve in your house? Guinness. Opal Stout. And then they serve you stout. You won't take it. You think it's not appropriate. If it's not appropriate for Holy Communion, it's not appropriate for your body where Christ lives. It's not appropriate for your body where Christ lives. The Bible said that our body has been bought. We don't own it. And we should not defile it with things like that. Let me tell us the truth. If anything that can impair your ability to reason, it's not good for you. Because if your right hand will make you to get into trouble, alcohol has the potential to impair your ability to reason, even if for 5 minutes. And if you give the devil 5 minutes, he will take. All he's looking for is 1 minute opportunity. He will grab it and make you set things. He can lure you into something. There was a brother that came to visit a church, and the wife was a member of the church. And then the wife was harassing the pastor. He said, nobody came to visit my husband when he visited. I need people. He has to come to church. He has to be born again. So the pastor sent two brothers to go and visit the man. So the man welcomed them. They were chatting and talking. And the man said to them, you know, the weather is hot. He said, I have this cold stout. He said, I know you are Christian, so just take one tumbler. That will be enough. Don't take more than one. I said, I know you are Christian. You don't drink. So I'm not telling you to take two. Just one. At least since you are my visitor now, let me give you cola nut. So the brothers looked at them and said, it's okay, one. It's okay. So he gave them one. So as they were talking and downing one, he said to them, you know, one for the road, you know, so that at least. So he brought one more. And then they were downing the thing. He said, but you know, I still have one that has chilled since you came. So why don't we just take the third one? Remember, there are three of them. And now they are taking the third bottle. And then from the third bottle, they went into more. And then the wife saw them. And when the brothers left, the husband called her and said, this is the type of Christianity I like. I love this type. I don't like that type you and your pastor are talking about. So when the wife told the pastor, he called the two brothers and said, you people went there to be drinking stout. They said, pastor, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Pastor. Said, pastor, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, we tried, but the thing was sweet. So, and the temperature was hot. It was very hot, so we took one, and then two. Let me say it again. Whatever we destroy that testimony that Christ is Lord indeed, that you have been saved from these things, don't have to engage in. It doesn't prove to anybody watching you that your salvation is real. If he sees you gulping at alcohol. And once you start drinking, either you're gullible, start talking something, or you're introverted. Either way, you are no more normal. Even the heathen say, they're not pastors saying this. These are heathens of the world. And they put it out on the road. I don't know how any human being calls himself a Christian can defend drinking alcohol when he knows what drunk driving is doing to people. Maiming people on the street, killing people. I don't know. Anything that has potential to take you to that level, you should avoid it. The only way to avoid being an alcoholic is to stop, don't take the first one. If you don't take the first one, you can't take the second one. Because what opens up the way to the second is the first. You say it's social. One day the devil will make it more than social. Because you opened the door for him. You gave him the privilege to do that. If you don't touch it, it won't be, he can't use it. And then it makes you keep the kind of friend. I mean, if I'm an unbeliever and you are drinking, I won't think you are serious. When I got saved, the first time my friend, a doctor, we worked together in Teaching Hospital Kaduna. He said, if I keep whiskey here, 5 minutes, if you don't touch it, I will know you are saved. So he kept. 5 minutes passed. He said, huh? You didn't touch it. He said, another 5 minutes. Then he recalled. He said, this is serious. You mean you don't touch this thing again? I said, I don't even want it. I had no desire for it at all. I said, I'm a new creature. The old one that used to die, the drink, is dead. This new one has no desire for it. And he began to respect my faith. He needed me to prove that this is true. Because they will try you to see if you mean what you're saying. Even at your job, they will try you. They'll come and make trouble for you to see if you mean, if you start singing those songs, all those my enemies, the devil will kill them. They know you're not serious. You know that song we sing? When husband and wife are quarreling. If you are showering, you start singing for him. That, you know, all those that maltreat their wives, let them remember their prayer will not be answered. And then you are bathing. My auntie said the devil should pack his things and leave us alone. Praise the Lord. So, when you know that you have this natural body, then you know you have something to resist. Because when the appeal comes to it, it will be your job to say, no, you are not responding to this. If you live in ignorance of the reality that you have this natural body, it will take advantage of that you ignore. It will jump on you, take over your emotion, and you say things and do things that you regret. And then the devil will show up immediately and say, but you call yourself a Christian. You're still a Christian, but you are ignorant. You can't deny your faith. You can't. You cannot. You must acknowledge it. Because Paul acknowledged his own. He said, this is my body. I pommel it and I put it under control. I don't let it do what it wants to do. Because I know it will do evil. Praise the Lord. So we must discipline it and then watch the gates. The gate of our eye. Watch the gate of your eye. You must watch it. Because Job says, I made covenant with my eye that I will not look upon a maid. You must watch what you look at. Because those appeals are coming from what you look at on television or whatever, or on your internet. You must watch what you look at. You must watch what you look at. Nobody can do it for you. That is if you are serious and interested in living a life that tells about Jesus Christ. You must watch what you look at. And you must watch what goes into your mouth, like we said. You must watch the gate of touch and feeling. If I'm a young man and I'm dating, me and her were alone in the room. Who are we deceiving here? Look, you can deceive yourself, but for God's sake, don't come and assault my intelligence. Don't come and tell me that nonsense. You stay with a young girl alone, where you know that magnet opposite and they react, they do what? It's natural. You say, Pastor, we didn't do anything, but we just touched hand. Do you know the word dating in America is having sex? Plain, that's what it is. You say, I'm dating her, well, that's what it means. Another word for sex is dating. So when you talk about this dating thing, if you want to deceive yourself, for God's sake, leave me out of it. Don't come and insult me. Because I know that the attraction is for real. And especially when you have feelings for one another. You stay alone in the house, stay alone in the room, and you lock the door. Can I advise you people? I want you to look at me. Stop looking for a husband for your daughter. That's stupidity. Let me call it what it is. That's arrant nonsense. Don't engage in stuff like that. What do you know? Why don't you go on your knees and say, Lord, send a husband to her? Why are you trying to look for a husband for your daughter? And encouraging your daughter to be sleeping with people? Does God walk through iniquity? And you come and sit here and say, Pastor Chinedu is teaching. Stop that rubbish. With God, all things are possible. You go on your knees and say, Lord, my children are of age, they should marry. And God starts talking to you. God starts having conversation about it with you. Because he will. He always will. He will assure you. Say, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. And when the right person comes, he will tell you. Say, I'm sending somebody now. Praise the Lord. And then we need to be sober. We need to be sober. We need to be people who don't live careless lives. If you live careless life, you open the door for the enemy. He's looking for a careless person. We need to be sober. The Bible says we must resist the devil and we must be sober. We must be sober. Can we say that? We need to be sober. I didn't hear you. There was a time I was not really very sober. And that time I would respond to anything. And there was a lot of argument. Until I realized that's flesh. That the spirit doesn't act like. So when you talk, having said what is necessary, there's no more points there. It's no need. And if you go beyond that, I will agree with you. You want that? Okay. God has a way of taking over if you let him. I'm telling you, God is too much. God has a way of what? Intervening in the affairs of men if you let him. If you what? It's conditional. If you pull back, and you don't want to engage it yourself, but you pull back, pursue peace. Pursue peace. Whatever we make for peace. At your own expense, it's okay. You are not foolish. No. And you haven't lost yet. Because God will have the final, and he will usually have the final. Usually will turn around. It will turn around. Unless you don't believe in God. Unless you don't believe that God is. If you believe that God is, and then instead of quarreling, you pull back, you pause, keep quiet, and yield. Yield the right of way. And say, Lord, into your hand. You are the most powerful person around. Because now you have engaged God into it quietly and nobody knows. It might look like things are going her way for a while. But one day you see the hand of God twist it in pure and becomes more glorious, becomes a better testimony. And you didn't let the devil come in because whatever that's quarreling, the devil will show up. Can I hear amen? So we need to be sober and watch our emotions. We must watch our emotions. Because most of the things that happen is that our emotions go out of control. And then we can't. And if they tape those things and play for you, when you are worshiping God, they say, can we hear their worship before this one? They play it. It won't edify you at all. It won't edify you at all. So we need to watch those gates. Amen. There's one gate that we must watch. That is the gate of our heart. For the devil likes to drop thoughts into our heart. All of a sudden, a thought comes from nowhere. Have you experienced that? From nowhere. It comes. I can be thought of anything. Don't let it bother you. It's the devil trying to introduce something. You must understand that. And so when he tries to introduce something, you know it's him. You just ignore it. Any thought you don't give attention to, you don't act on, will normally die quietly. Any thought you don't give attention to, and you don't act on it, it will normally what? Die off. Because out of sight, if you don't give it attention, you don't yield yourself to thinking, when it comes, I don't want this kind of thing. And then you don't give it attention, take it out of sight, it will go out of mind. It's a matter of time. If it passes, then you can open your mouth and say, Satan is you. And I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Pack your thoughts, get out of here. And that's it. So we need to watch the gate of our heart too. So that if it tries to introduce thoughts, seed, that if you meditate on it, it grows into something. For instance, it can come and tell you that your husband doesn't love you. You know that. I don't know how many women have had that in their heart. And the man is doing his best. And the devil comes and says, don't mind that thing he's doing. He doesn't love you. Then you sit there and say, yeah. It's true. Yeah. And the devil will say, after service on Sunday, did you remember he went before you? That's true. Went before me. He went before me. Okay. Then he'll remind you another one. The man, innocent as he is. as innocent as anything. But here is the devil polluting your mind. And then before long, you start seeing your husband differently. And no matter what it does, you won't be satisfied again. Because at the back of your mind is this thinking that it doesn't care about. It can be anything. It can be a co-worker. I can tell you that, but that woman hates you. In fact, she's plotting to kill you. And you say, yes. Don't you see three of them meeting all the time? It's about you. You were not in the meeting. How you arrived at that conclusion, Aaron? And the devil convinces you, and from nowhere, hatred and bitterness is sowed into your life. And guess who pays the price? You pay the price. So we must watch our hearts. And if you are telling me the devil doesn't try to plant things in your heart, you are not living in this earth. You must have gone to heaven. In which case, please come back here. Praise the Lord. So, Peter says something to us. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Now, before I read this, the Lord wants me to pause to go back a little bit and talk about, you know, sanctification in terms of living the fullness of Christ's life. I want to make one point. The Spirit of Christ will produce the love of God. The proof you're a Christian is the love of God. Jesus said so. He said, by this shall all men know you are what? My disciples. When you live in love. He said, he who does not love does not know God. So there's no question of whether you know God or not. The proof is that you live the love of God. So when you talk of sanctification, it's not to be more Pharisaic. It's to have knowledge that transforms your heart into a tender heart, a merciful heart, a forgiving heart, an accommodating heart, a heart that doesn't gossip, that it finds it difficult to do evil to somebody. A giving heart. A heart that releases what it has to bless people. A heart that is lowly in spirit. That's not exalting itself. It's the love of God. That's the key thing. Can I hear amen? It's the love of God. Instead of the other one, when they taught us sanctification, we are trying to be holy. Holy. And then in trying to be holy, I got a bit disappointed with myself. Because every time I will find that I'm not making it. In spite of my trials, I'm still falling short. And that falling short used to make me angry and stress me out. And guess who was the victim of the anger? My wife. Misplaced aggression. Because I was trying my best to be holy, to be sanctified. I would pray. And I still found out that at the end of the day, I will still miss it here and there. And I'll go and cry and come to church. And after preaching, we'll cry. And after crying for some time, I said, ah, how come? The same people will cry all the time. Something must be wrong with us. Something must be definitely. Nobody told me that you have your flesh, that your flesh interferes. You must learn to fight back. Nobody told me. I thought as a Christian, you must come to a place of perfection where there's no more sin in your life. That's an impossible thing until we receive the body that Christ is giving us. If we have this body, we'll have problem here. Praise the Lord. If you don't want to accept that truth, you live in deceit, and it's an exercise in futility. You're just wasting your time. I want it to sink in. That's why the throne of God is the throne of grace, because of our infirmities. So when I come there, I come, Lord, I come, I trust in your mercy that Jesus gave me. I trust in the blood. I trust in the blood. That's why the only way to God is through Christ, because he's the one that dispenses the mercy of God for us. So let me come back to where I was. So 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. And be strong where? In your faith. And be strong where? In your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So we stand evil with our faith. Remember, we are to live in the Spirit. And if you want to live in the Spirit, you live by faith. The only way you can engage the Word of God for you is through faith. The only way you can engage the power of God on your behalf is through faith. The only way you can engage the power of God to work for you is through faith. The power to live, the power to overcome, the power to do anything. The only way you can engage that power is through faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God. Because the power that will make you do what God wants cannot be engaged. And then you'll be left with only one thing, yourself and your flesh, which will profit you nothing. So is that our faith that we need to, again, develop? Sanctification is growing in your faith, having the knowledge of the truth that develops you, in your faith, develops you in your love, develops you in the knowledge of grace, so that as you enjoy what grace is giving you, you are to giving grace to people. You can't give what you don't have. You are showing people the love of God. That the grace of God is the manifestation of the love of God. You become a pipe through which this thing is flowing. You receive, you what? Give. You receive, you what? Come on, say it louder. You receive, you what? You give. Come on, say it more. You receive. The Bible says you give such as you have. Such as you have. If you don't have revelation of grace, you won't live in love, because it will mean nothing to you. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Now you don't know he loves you. You don't understand the grace of God. How can you love God? And if you don't love God, you can't love man. You can be a religious person. You can come to church and act all you want to, but you are not going to be able. So, 1 John 5:4 says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is what? Son of God. That's the one that overcomes sin that is in the world. You say, but Pastor, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, let your faith overcome the world too. Maybe you really don't understand that this faith has to grow. And that the more you know Jesus, the Son of God, the more you know Jesus, the Son of God, the more your faith grows. And the more your faith grows, the more your faith can tackle anything. The more your faith can, the shield of faith can fend off things for you. the more your faith can overcome things for you. The more you grow in faith, the more you can undertake stuff. The more you grow in love, the more you can live the life of Christ. So, Galatians 5:16. This I said, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's read it together. This I said, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. So what is talking about walking faith? Walk by the word, and you shall not fulfill the works of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. He didn't say go and overcome it. He said, no, you walk in the Spirit. Walk by your Spirit. Walk by the word. Walk by faith. Believe in the things unseen. Believe in the truth of the spiritual realities of your life. Believe in the things in the realm you don't see. When you talk of spirit, you're talking of the realm unseen. Believe in what Christ has achieved for you, the empowerment he gave you, the ability he gave you, the things he testified about you. Believe in these things. Walk in them. The word of God is light unto your path and lamp unto your feet. If you start walking in the word, you walk in light. And when you walk in light, darkness cannot overcome it. I don't know that this is light. I don't know how darkness can overcome this. Darkness can come when we turn off the light. When we turn off the revelation of the truth, darkness begins to overpower us. Darkness is ignorance and the wrong word that is not true. As long as you turn on, the more the light is intense, the more you can see. I had the revelation I didn't understand when I got saved. We went for one conference. I promised myself that I would never be in this type of conference again because suffering was to the max. My wife, pregnant, was sleeping on the car or something. And the guest living was sleeping on bare field. I slept on a chair for two nights like this. And it was supposed to be, I don't know the purpose of that. You know, sometimes we believe that if it's not stressful, it's not spiritual. I don't understand that. Even as a new Christian, I told myself I don't need this. I looked at my pregnant wife sitting in the car all night, two nights. I said, no, this is not good. And as I was on that chair like this, God gave me a revelation that this is not about this thing I'm doing. He brought a lamp, gas lamp. They were pumping it. The more it was being pumped, the more. I didn't know that God was telling me what you need is my word, not all these things. Christ is the lamp is what? The light of the word. I didn't understand that. For years, I studied it until recently. I said, wow, that's true. The more you know Christ, the more the light in your life. That's what God was showing me. You don't need all this. You remember Tilly lamp? It used to have one white something. The more you pump it, and that thing, the more, mantle, if you touch it, it goes, it's like a. So, walking in the Spirit, like I said, is walking in the Word of God. It's walking by the Word of God. It's being led of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will lead you by the Word of God. Amen? I said amen. I said amen. So, when the Spirit of God begins to lead you, it will begin to teach you about Christ. That's why I'm leading you to. It will begin to reveal the light to you. So the more you have the light, the more you know it, the more your own light is shining. So it begins to reveal to you what Christ did for you, how Christ changed your life, who Christ made you to be, what the cross means to you, and what benefits arise from that, what abilities you now have, what authorities you now have. For instance, if a Christian doesn't understand his authority, I don't know how he can overcome the devil. And I want to make a statement. And please listen to me. You can tell it to anybody. The primary person who can deal with the devil in your life is you. Any other person can help you for a while. But if you don't learn authority, sorry, I can't help you. Because the scripture says, resist what? And he shall what? Did he say I should resist for you? He said, you do that. And if the Holy Spirit says, you do that, and if you are not doing that, nobody else can do it for you. And when you come to church, you don't take Bible studies seriously. You don't build your faith. You are not interested. How do you resist? Then you are depending on the pastor, depending on this. And let me repeat it again. There's an extent somebody can help you. But in the final analysis, you are the one that will resist that thing in the final analysis. Because no matter what my brother does to help me, at a point he will go home now. And I'm left with it. If I don't know how to resist this, that's when the whole thing will come on me. And I'm sitting there and saying, oh, this thing doesn't work. Well, I didn't do what God told me to do. God said to me, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word so you can grow. Please desire to grow. And I'm not doing it. And I'm not serious with studying the Bible. I'm not serious with knowing Jesus. I'm not serious with anything. All the teaching we're teaching here, from you don't know. You don't know anything. Tell me how we work. Let me repeat it. The responsibility to resist evil, whether it's devil, the devil and sin are the same coin of two different sides. You can't separate them. They are the same thing. If you don't develop your faith, if you don't take these things we're teaching seriously, you think it's Bible study thing, you don't go and study it again and hear it again so that you get your light is being pumped and pumped. When the things hit you in the confusion, you will be thrown apart. All somebody can do is to come and talk to you and encourage you and pray with you. But believe you me, if you don't know how to engage, if you don't know how to do it yourself, oh, you're going to be in trouble. I'm not kidding you. If you're a baby Christian, they can help you for a while. But that's not the end of trouble now. So you got to learn how to do it, how to resist these things. And that's what we're teaching. How many of you had Sinadi on Sunday? Sinadi, he's been on 5 years in this church. Did you hear the graceful word the man was talking? How to engage somebody who is just, he said, I didn't bother with him. Oh, that it was so beautiful. The thing blessed me. It blessed me. The day he spoke here on marriage, he and the wife, how many of you were here? How was it? It was awesome. I couldn't remove anything. I was. So I'm not surprised when they threw this at him, he brought up a shield of faith. He was at peace. Totally at peace. It was nothing to bother him. He was at peace. And the result was God went to work. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. He was not rattled. How could he be rattled? He has built up his faith. So when the thing showed up, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, what damage of the living God? Can't do anything. He didn't call fire. He didn't call fire. He didn't call any prophet. He didn't need them. Because he knew his authority. He knew that if God opens the door, nobody can close it. That settled it. Went to bed and God performed his work in a marvelous manner that revealed the salvation we have in Christ. That story tells you that the privilege of being a child of God is all ours. So we must learn how to resist sickness. My wife was pushing it. She said, I've learned how to push back. Come on, everybody do that. Come on, do it with me. Come on. How to push back. When the flesh rises, you know how to push it back. When your emotion rises, you know how to push it back. You learn how to push back. You don't sit there and be saying, Pastor, I had a dream in the night. If you know that dream, I saw a monkey. I saw a monkey. And they were doing like this. I think it's my grandmother. You know, when I hear things like that, believe you me, I don't know whether to laugh or to say, my friend, leave me alone. So we, Philippians 3:3. We who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. That's what you rely upon. You don't rely on the laws of Moses. You rely on what Christ has done. Brethren, that's how to get your mind sanctified, so that your life is transformed. You get sanctified with true knowledge. You rely on what Christ has done for us. For instance, victory over sin doesn't start with you. No. It started on the cross. Where did it start? The cross. Victory over sin didn't start with us. If Jesus didn't come, we won't have no victory whatsoever. The Bible says he came because part of the reason he came because of the weakness of our flesh. He said we couldn't, what the law could not do because of the weakness of our flesh, God did it himself by sending his son in the likeness of men. So what did his son do? You must be interested now. What is it that God did to overcome what the law could not do in my body? You got to find out what is it? What is it that God did to overcome what I couldn't do for me? When Jesus came, the first victory over sin was that he took the nature of sin we have and what? Crucified on the cross. None of us could do that. None of us. Nobody could do that. Not even Moses. The Ten Commandments couldn't nail it. In fact, the Ten Commandments produced more sin. And so the Bible says that when Christ died on the cross, that we too what? Died. Oh, I have a problem now because I wasn't on that cross. So how come I died? I wasn't there. Like my granddaughter, Amara. He said, Grandma. He said, I wasn't there when Jesus came. My granddaughter. He said, Grandma, I wasn't there when Jesus came. So how do I know? That's my grandma. That's my beautiful girl for you. So, grandma told me, say, your daughter has grown. I said, yes, these are American children. They reason a lot. I said, the best is take him to Umuchu, to Lansmo. So that's where I'm headed. If I don't have time, I'll take it next week. I want to take us from to the cross and show you how you identify. When you know your identity with Christ, unity with Christ, believe you me, but the devil and sin and sickness will be under your feet. When you understand that, oh my God, it will transform boldness you've never seen before. And all these things you fight over, stop. You walk the same way Jesus walked. He died. And then the body of sin, my own body, not your own, my own, your own. Who else again? The Bible says that he crucified it where? On the cross, so that we henceforth not serve sin. That was deliverance from sin. You must have that revelation from the Holy Spirit. No matter what I tell you this night, unless the Spirit of God, what? I was walking up and down here, I said, Lord, you know, this is a spiritual mystery. I said, if you don't open our eyes, we won't understand it. I said, we can't engage this truth with our physical. There has to be revelation. I said, this is the mystery of your kingdom. Brethren, this is the bone of the kingdom. This is not milk. This is the bone. The apostle said, come on, stop drinking milk. Let's go to the bone and understand these things. If you don't know them, you'll be thinking of sanctification in terms of what I'm doing. You won't come to think in sanctification in terms of what Christ has done. And until you come back to what Christ has done, you will be depending on what Christ, what else. Paul said, I can't boast except in what Christ has done. Because it is when I depend on what Christ has done that my life is transformed to live the life that Christ died for me to live. Which the law couldn't give me. You don't pretend this thing. Brethren, you can't, because if they put pressure on you, you crack. Abba, you come here and sit and they're singing, holy, holy. And your wife is looking at you. Holy Lord. And immediately you get into the car. Say, do you know the children? We don't have bread in the house. Am I bank? Eh? Do you think I'm bank? Am I the only one? You earn salary. Come here and be bothering me. Only a few minutes ago, you were standing there. Bronyechi will say, can you move a little for people to enter? Holy. Woo. The anointing is here. I'm begging you people, can we throw those kind of stuff away? Be real. Look, yeah, if you do stuff, that kind of thing to your wife, and the Spirit of God comes along and says, that shouldn't be, you go back and say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. My flesh got the better of me. I'm really sorry. And she says, I love you too. I love you. I forgive you. You know, but we still buy the bread anyway. I've done that before. Now, ask her. I've done that. I've said, am I the only one? And I go away singing, Lord, you are. After singing, Lord, you are, I'll go back. After some, you know how you go to your wife, you don't go directly. You start conversing, you know, but you know where you're going. Start saying, hey, how was your day? Was it okay? No, I'm sorry about yesterday. I'm so sorry. My wife will say, it's okay, I forgive you now. What I'm trying to say, brethren, what I'm trying to teach us, is that stop trying to produce what only Christ can produce. That will make you a hypocrite. Be real and grow in these things. Nobody has gotten there yet. None of us, but we are growing. We're growing. The more you know Christ, the more you depend on what he did for you, the more the Spirit of God, the only one who can transform you is transforming you from glory to glory, making you conform to that thing that Christ paid for you to have. The more you are knowing it, the more you are believing it, the more your faith is accepting it, the more your faith is accepting it, the more the Spirit of God is working the word out, and you find yourself doing these things without effort, and it becomes sustainable. Really sustainable, because it's real. There's a genuine change that has taken place. Am I communicating to you? Yeah. So, okay. I'm done. So we'll continue on Thursday from what Christ has done. Then we go there from identification with Christ, to what is the church? What really is the church? When you say church, what it is? We're going to study. So you find your place and become a miracle worker yourself. Can I hear amen? Let me tell you what the Lord told me. I want you to hear. He said to me, he said, Dune, I'm not looking for a miracle work. He said, there's no place I'm looking for a miracle work. He said, I'm looking for faithful men who will be able to teach others my truth. So that's all I'm looking for. He said, that's what I'm looking for. He said, I'm not looking for a miracle worker. He said, a faithful man who can find. He said, I'm looking for faithful men who will know these things and able to teach what? Others, he said, because it is this truth that will make them grow, transform their lives, and even equip them to do miracles, is this truth, and keep them free. For you shall know the truth. So that's what I'm looking for. He said, oh, you go to your country, all they are praying for an anointing, they are looking for miracle workers. And I'm not. He said, the devil is messing them up. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.